All right, let's turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. You remember our last study from 3 weeks ago, I guess. Today, we were talking about the Lord choosing his apostles and named them apostles. He chose them to an office and then called them apostles. And then right after that is where our lesson this morning takes up, in Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him to be healed of their diseases, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. They were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Now you remember, I want to stop here for just a second. You remember the woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And she did. And she was cleansed. And it said the Lord felt virtue go out from him. What is virtue? What's he talking about there? Have you ever looked at it? Righteousness. Virtue has to do with righteousness, and it also has to do with righteous authority. You marry someone and you say, by virtue of the authority vested in me. You're talking about a righteous authority, a power to do these things. Virtue came out of him. For there went virtue out of him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. They did the same thing. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Now, with each of these blessings, he also counteracts with a woe. And it's pointedly the very opposite of the blessing. Did you notice that when I read through there? They're the very opposite. Now, when our Lord came down with his disciples into the plain, he'd just chosen them to be apostles. Highest office in the church. And this isn't a day when nobody even knew what a church was. This is the beginning of the New Testament. This is the beginning of the gospel age, if you will. And some of these men would be used to pen Holy Scripture, and all of them would be used to preach the gospel of Christ and establish churches throughout that part of the known world, I suppose you could say. And these 12 and all true believers are going to suffer persecution in this world. Their families would suffer for their sakes. They had family members who weren't preachers. They had family members who weren't believers. They had family members that were just family. And they would suffer persecution because of what these men preached. Their names would be slandered because of what these men preached. Their friends would shun them, just as Job's did. He had friends, ate with him, came to his house, feasted with him during birthdays and things that he had, but as soon as the Lord allowed him to be come down with these boils and this great disease, well, they started pointing the finger. What'd you do? You done something wrong. Called them miserable comforters. And they were. There's going to be times that you're going to ask yourselves, have I done the right thing? Did I really hear the truth? Have I made the right decision? Did I join a true church? Is this thing really of God? Am I a true believer? Would these things happen if God were with me? And so our Lord gives them four situations, four conditions, four blessed evidences of God's blessing. He's going to put them in this situation, and he's going to tie this in as a blessing. He gives them four things. Four distinguishing characteristics of all true believers, and four opposites which characterize all them that believe not. So let's look first at the true believers. In all four things, he calls them blessed. Blessed, blessed. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world in order to be blessed. Isn't that what he said? Oh, blessed be, blessed. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him. He chose us to bless us. But it didn't feel like a blessing when he was despised and rejected of men. And his apostles looked on. They wasn't expecting that, even though he told them. They weren't expecting it. They were expecting him to be exalted. They were expecting him to rise up and take the throne. And he would, but not that throne in Jerusalem. He's going to sit on the throne of God. But it didn't feel like a blessing when he was despised and rejected of men, but it was. It didn't seem like a blessing when he went through the agony of the cross and they were spitting in his face, slapping him and whipping him. Didn't seem like a blessing. But it was. It was. And my point is this, you can be blessed and not know it. Not know it. I've seen people weep and mourn that were blessed and just didn't know it. Just didn't know it. You can be blessed and not feel it. And you can be blessed and still be miserable. To rejoice in the blessing, you have to have knowledge. You have to understand what the blessing is and what the blessing's all about. Paul said, we glory, over in Romans chapter 5, we glory in tribulations also knowing. You don't just glory in the tribulation. You glory in the tribulation knowing. There's something you need to know. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us That's why we glory in tribulations, because we know what they're all about. We know what they're for. It's like that old rock, and it's got gold in it, but it's full of dross. And so they put it through the fire, and they separate the gold from the dross. And that's what happens in trials. He burns up those things. He destroys those things that you had hope in, and they were nothing but old dirt. That's all they were, just old dross. And he burns those things up in them trials, and he leaves nothing left but the pure gold. Pure gold. So here's the first word of blessing. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Now, I could go through a long debate, I suppose, or a long talk to show you that this is not the Beatitudes. If you want to read the Beatitudes, you can go over to Matthew and you can read them. But those Beatitudes were delivered on the Sermon on the Mount. He ain't on the Mount. He's in the plain. And he's picking these things and he's talking to them about these things because he's chosen them to go through these things. They're holding an office in the church and they're going to suffer some things for it. And he's going to talk to them about it. There's no blessing in physical poverty. Sometimes physical poverty was given as a judgment of God upon men. It's not always a blessing. And in his Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit, those who have been taught of God concerning the total depravity of this flesh. And certainly this applies here. But here he's addressing a physical poverty, but one brought about by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Matthew, or Levi, as he's called in Luke chapter 5, it says he left all. What did he leave? He left the best job he ever had. He was a tax collector. He was plugged into society. He could make money, Russell. He knew what to invest in, what not to invest in. He had friends in high places. He had money. That's obvious. He throwed a feast for everybody. He left all, Winston. He just packed up, left all. And there's no other way to follow the Lord. Now, you might not have to. He might not require that of you. But he's going to require a willing spirit. And I guarantee you, if it's an issue, you're going to have to. You're going to have to. It was an issue with the rich young ruler, wasn't it? What must I do to inherit? Well, you can keep the law. Oh, I've already done that. Well, then you won't have no problem with this. Take all that you have and sell it and give it to the poor. All his holdings, everything he'd worked a lifetime for. And then take up your cross and follow me. Now, if you can keep the law, you can do that. But you can't keep the law. There's no other way to follow the Lord. When he sent out his disciples to preach over in Matthew 10, verse 10, here's what he said to them. I'm going to send you out, and don't you pack no gold when you go. Don't put no gold in there. Don't put any silver in your purse, not even brass. Don't even take a penny with you. No script for your journey. Don't take an extra coat, and don't even take an extra pair of shoes. Boy, that wasn't me, was it? I had the whole truck filled full of shoes and clothes and coats and everything in the world. When he sent those apostles out, he said, don't you even take an extra pair of shoes. Just take one coat. Don't take no money. The blessed poverty is those who have left all in obedience to Christ to assemble with the saints and to be blessed with a word from God. This is what they seek. They're seeking God's will. They're seeking God's glory. They're seeking God's way. And the way of God is to sit under the gospel. That's the way of God. The way of God is Christ. He is the way. If you're hearing anything else, you need to go where you're hearing nothing but Christ. He's the way. And we give up all in order to do that, if it's required. And preacher here, in most cases, results in a poverty compared to what they once had or maybe once could have had. It's a poverty. I know lots of preachers are making $80,000, $100,000 a year, some of them more than that. Now they're making $30,000. Huh? That's poverty compared to what they had. They still have food on the table. They still can raise their families and got people take care of them. But I'm just simply saying what he's talking about here when he's talking about poverty, he's talking about a willful poverty. Putting yourself in a position where there's nothing out there, nothing this world can guarantee. And what are them that don't have to move? Well, I think you'll find it impossible to climb any kind of a social ladder and confess Christ at the same time. You try it. Oh, is that what you believe? Let me put you over here on this list. That's how it goes, ain't it? You're a little strange. They'll look at you. And I'm pretty sure even if you have a little money, you'll have a poverty of friends. And a poverty of family. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And then secondly, here's another blessing he tells them. Blessed are ye that hunger now. Ye should be filled. And again, the Beatitudes in Matthew say, who hunger after righteousness. All believers who are poor in spirit, who understand something of the depravity of the flesh, they hunger for righteousness because they can't produce it. And because they've learned that it's the free gift of God. And they hunger for it. They want that. I can't produce one. Man at his best state's altogether vanity. All my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I don't have a righteousness. And if I do, it's his righteousness. But those who willingly, knowingly, lovingly follow after Christ will often experience physical hunger. Physical hunger. And not to any extreme. I don't want you to think I'm saying this to any extreme, but I've experienced this in my ministry. I've experienced this. I wondered where the next meal was going to come from. Paul, listen to this. Paul said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full, now listen, and to be hungry. God's already instructed me as to these things. Both to abound and to suffer need, and both have a purpose. That man who is hungry for Christ's sake is blessed of God. And those who hunger now shall be filled. God will provide them bread, just as he did Israel in the wilderness. Spiritual and physical. And believers are men and women who willingly deprive themselves of that which otherwise would have been theirs, lawfully theirs. And they could have enjoyed it, but for the gospel's sake, they put themselves in a position where they could hunger. Where they could hunger. God gave me no guarantee when I came down here that I was going to have food on the table. He gave me no guarantee that this church was going to support me and grow in their support and grow in members. I didn't have no guarantee of anything. But he did. And that's what he's telling you here. They're going to be filled. They're going to be filled here, and they're sure enough going to be full there. And then thirdly, verses 21, the last half of the verse, he said, "Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh." The lives of all true believers are filled with tears and weeping. Weeping over our sins. My sins. Oh, my soul. My sins. No matter how much I try. No matter how much I strive. No matter how much I read. No matter how much I preach. My sins. Oh, wretched man that I am. That's what Paul said. And he was an apostle. Oh, wretched man that I am. We weep over our sins and weep over our children. I see my children and they're leaving these things. They're leaving the gospel. They're leaving the blessings of God. And they're going out here and finding hope in the world and comfort in the world. And I weep for them. I weep for them. Weeping over the loss of our loved ones. We weep for them. We know the end, don't we? We know what it is to die in your sins. And it's an awful thing. It's an awful thing. It makes me sick when I go to a funeral home and hear them talking about how blessed they are. And these people had no interest in Christ whatsoever. And when we weep in our ignorance over things we ought to rejoice in, we weep over. And like everybody else in the world, we experience sorrows and sicknesses, pain, bereavement, broken homes, wayward children, and earthly troubles. We all do. We all do, and we weep. But unlike this world, we have a God who said he'll wipe away all tears. And he'll wipe some now. But he'll wipe them all in that day. Our God shall wipe away all tears. Scripture said, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy." And then it says this, "Weeping will endure through the night, but joy cometh in the morning." And those whose weeping is sent of God is a blessing. And they'll one day laugh. They'll one day laugh. They'll laugh at themselves. How foolish was I? How foolish was I? My soul, we serve a risen Savior. He's seated at the right hand of God. He spoke this universe into existence. You don't think he can give you a piece of bread? He said in Romans 8, "He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things?" We're going to spare you a hamburger because he didn't spare his son. He's not going to spare you anything. It's just unbelief and doubt. And when we see the blessing, we'll laugh. We'll laugh at how foolish we were. And then fourthly, verse 22. "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company." Get out. I've heard that before. Get out. We don't want you anymore. We don't like you anymore. We don't like what you're saying. We don't like what you're doing. Get out. Get out. "Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you." And listen to this. "Cast out your name as evil." He's an evil man. He's an evil man. "For the Son of Man's sake." Listen to this. 1 John 4, verse 4. "Ye are of God, little children." Now, he just spent four chapters telling you what that is. Ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, these false prophets, these false teachers. You've overcome them, worldly ministers, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. God has taken up his abode in you. It's God's light shining in you. It's God's grace working in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Verse 5, they are of the world. What's he talking about? Well, they're of the world in their nature. They walk according to the course of this world. They're of the world in its curse, under the judgment of God, a fallen nature, depraved. They're of the world in the influence of the world. Satan has an influence on this world through Antichrist religion. And you can even go, into the worst bars around and you'll hear men in there talking like they know God. They're of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. They love them. They'll listen to them. They'll fill up synagogues. They'll fill up cathedrals. I guarantee you, there's one over in Shreveport on Yeri Drive that covers three city blocks. I guarantee you that place is full this month. They're of the world, and therefore the world heareth them. But now watch this, verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that's not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And those who cannot and will not hear the truth, they hate and despise them that do. There are no middle ground. No middle ground. They hate their dogmatism. My sister used to tell me all the time, why are you so dogmatic? I said, I'm not. The scriptures are. Scriptures are dogmatic. I don't have any right to change scripture. Do you? No. They hate their dogmatism. They hate their harmony with the truth. They hate the fact that you can go in here and verse after verse after verse after verse and show them. And they can't show you a single verse supporting what they say. They hate that. They hate their attitudes. They don't like your attitude. They don't like that gracious attitude that you have. But most of all, they hate your God. They hate your God. And what seems at the time accursed is in reality a blessing. And then let me close with these four woes. Now you remember he talked about the poor. Blessed be ye poor. That was the first thing he said. Now watch this. Verse 24. Woe unto you that are rich. Rich. You got rich because you didn't go where you knew you had to go. You stayed there for the money. You stayed there for the security. Woe is you. Woe is you. You have what you bought. You're reaping what you sow. Woe unto you that are rich. Like the Laodiceans, they said, we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knoweth not that thou art wretched and poor and blind and naked. It's a great woe to be content with this world. Now there is a godly contentment, which is great gain, but that contentment has to do with being poor and still being content. To be hungry and still being content. Content in whatever state I'm in. That's what Paul said. I've learned this. It's a great woe to be content with this world, comfortable in your situation without Christ. Happy in a false sense of security. And the contented of this world, he said, they have their consolation. You better enjoy it, because that's all there is. That's all there is. Be no consolation in the next world. Be no security in the next world. You got all you're going to get right here. And then secondly, he says, woe unto you that are full. Now he says this just as he said that blessed be the hungry, those that hunger. And now he's saying, woe unto you that are full. The full soul, the scripture said, loatheth even the honeycomb. He don't want the honeycomb. He don't like even the light bread. My soul, how good does bread smell when it's baking? And back in the old days, they baked that bread and then brought it out and served it. It was still hot. A full soul doesn't even want any. I don't want none of that. I don't need Christ. I don't need his blessings. I don't need no church. I'm self-sufficient. Woe unto those that are full. I just need the things that I have. No hunger after spiritual thing. No need of a pastor. No need of anybody's understanding. No need for God to reveal things to you. He's full. He's full. And there's a woe on him. And then watch this. Woe unto you that laugh now. Those who find themselves above all danger, secure and satisfied, safe in the refuge of lies, looking at the world and laughing at eternity. My oldest brother used to tell me all the time, he said, well, at least in hell, I'll be in good company. I said, you won't have no company in hell. There won't be no fellowship there. Won't be no fellowship there. Laughing at the world and laughing at eternity, laughing at judgment, laughing at the danger. And those who laugh now, weeping is their future. He said he cast them out into outer darkness where there's what? Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Ain't that what it says? You're going to weep then. You laugh now. And the bars are full of people down there laughing this morning. They're laughing. Just laughing, having a good time. But they'll weep in eternity. And then finally, he says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. There was a time when I was scared, when every preacher I knew spoke evil of me. I was seeing things in the scriptures that I'd never saw before, and was just simple. I wasn't being dogmatic about it at all. I just was asking them questions about predestination and election and so on. And boy, they tagged me and the three or four churches that I used to visit. Man, they put you over there by yourself somewhere. Nobody talked to you. Now I understand it was a blessing. It's a blessing. This world hates the light of Christ. And the scripture says they hate it because their deeds are evil. And no man going to come to the light unless his deeds are going to be reproved. He's not going to come to that light. Here's the condemnation, Christ said. Light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. They preferred, Luke, the darkness. They preferred to live in the darkness. And how many people have I invited here and you've invited here who preferred the darkness? Huh? Oh, I'll just stay over here where I'm at. Show them in the scriptures. Here's what it says. How shall you hear without a preacher? Well, I'll stay over here. I can see things right out here on the river. You can see the river. That's all you can see. This world hates the light of Christ because their deeds are evil. And this hatred, he said, is the condemnation of this world. Woe unto you. Woe unto you. If you be of God, woe unto you. Or pretend to be of God. Let me put it that way. Woe unto you when everybody speaks well of you. Woe unto you. May the Lord teach us what it means to be blessed and to be heirs of his distinguishing grace. Who maketh thee to differ? Huh? Who made you to laugh instead of weeping? Who made you to be hungry instead of full? Who separated you? What have you gotten that you haven't received? And if you received it, if it was a gift of God and you know it, you better give him the glory. Better give him the glory. All right, thank you.